Okay, so it's me again. I wanted to acknowledge the other contributors to this work. And in this presentation, I'll talk about the process evaluation of this entire series that we've been talking about up to present. So I will go through learning objectives, a little bit of background information, process evaluation broadly, talk about the specific methodology used and analysis plans for this work, and also some conclusions and implications for future work. So I wanted to be able to describe to you all the purpose and development of the process evaluation plan, and also have shaded that to identify some of the challenges and effective strategies for implementing an intervention such as this with people living with HIV/AIDS in rural communities. So starting with background, minority enrollment clinical trials, the importance is pretty well known, primarily in the realm of cancer research. Yancey and colleagues published a paper a few years ago that basically showed the growing literature around this area. From 1984 to 1998, there was an average of 6 publications per year around this issue. And the 6 years that followed, that number tripled. So there's definitely a growing interest, although it's primarily in the realm of cancer research. HIV clinical trials education is still in its infancy. As you saw in the previous presentation, these are predominantly done in municipal hospitals and urban areas, none in rural areas, and none have been done that combine local service providers and people who have HIV/AIDS. A very important piece is process evaluation of these efforts, including indicators for context, fidelity, dose delivered, dose received, recruitment, which I will all define in a second. These have not been conducted as part of previous HIV clinical trials outreach efforts, and I'll talk about why this can be problematic in looking at the outcomes of intervention, saying that it was effective or it was not. So process evaluation is used to monitor and document program implementation and can aid researchers, practitioners, stakeholders, and everyone else in understanding the relationship between specific program elements and the program outcomes. Historically, if you look at programs, the program is rolled out, it's implemented, at the end, researchers say it was effective or it was ineffective. That doesn't really tell us what kind of happened in between. So it's very important that we understand how and why an intervention led to a particular behavioral outcome. Perhaps your intervention was not effective because it was not carried out to the degree that it should have been. So it's very important that we understand how and why this affects behavioral outcomes. So if you think about how complex interventions are coming, we have multiple theories, as she pointed out. We have multiple populations. We have multiple sites. It's important that we know what did and what did not happen at each one of these places before we get to the end and say this did or did not work. Thinking about theory validation, she already talked about that. And type 3 error is essentially evaluating a program that was not carried out appropriately. It's a huge error in intervention research. So as promised, talking about the 5 components that we're looking at for this process evaluation. Context, we want to look at environmental factors that influence the implementation of our work. Recruitment, what resources were employed and what resources were non-participation in the intervention sessions. Fidelity, we need to know, was the intervention carried out as it should be? Dose delivered, what proportion of the intended intervention session was delivered to the study participants? And on the other end, to what extent did study participants receive the intervention sessions as delivered? So before you do any program, you should start with a logic model. You should have a graphic representation of how you expect your program or your project to work. So this is the Project East logic model, and in order for you not to be cross-eyed, I'll just walk you across the orange boxes at the top. You see input, you see implementation, outcomes, and impact. So inputs are your human financial resources that ultimately lead to the development of your program. And this can include financial resources, the planning process. Community Advisory Board was very key to our project. They were the engine behind our project. Travel involved, staff, research volunteers, and community partners as well. Implementation, which is most important for Project East, to see if what you see inside that blue box was carried out as it was supposed to be. So you see in the green box service providers, we talked about the different methodologies used for that group and people living with HIV/AIDS, some of the methodologies used for that group. What we want to see as a result of these activities are, did everything happen? The number of sites that we rolled out, was that the number of sites that we intended? The number of sessions, the number of activities completed, et cetera, et cetera. Outcomes are very important. This is historically where a lot of intervention research actually goes from the beginning to the end, not necessarily the middle, and the ultimate impact with increased rates of enrollment of people in HIV clinical trials. Very important piece here is that none of the work that we do occurs in a vacuum, so it's important to look at the external factors. political, environmental, social, cultural, other factors that can affect your intervention the entire time that you're rolling it out. So it's important that we always add this to our logic models as well. So I'll talk about exactly what happened with Project East and the measures that we have in place to look at process indicators. We, of course, had people facilitate the sessions. This was a 3-day training that we had for these individuals, and these consisted of both paid and unpaid staff. These are key things that we think a good facilitator should have: effective group management, able to manage time, exploring some of the values and attitudes of participants. We're in the rural Southeast. If you're in any community, you need to know some of the values and attitudes that exist in this community. Using role plays effectively, presentation skills, and you see the others. We wanted to also make sure that they fully understood these sessions, so they had a very in-depth review of the service provider sessions and the people living with HIV/AIDS sessions, and also gave them an opportunity to do a mock exercise at the completion of the training with feedback from the trainers. Note takers, it's very important that we have people in the room to tell us what happened that we can't see on a piece of paper, a transcript. You'll never know what body language or associated things happened in the room without these individuals. So should note that these also consisted of paid and unpaid staff. Facilitators also wanted to be trained as note takers, so we had a pretty powerful team who went out into the field. We had a 1-day training with these individuals, detailing the different types of program evaluation, again, in-depth review of the logic model, and exactly what we were using as measurement for our process evaluation indicators. And a very important piece here with our observers was training them on the difference between objectivity and interpretation. We don't need you to give us your interpretation of what you see. Just be very objective and say you saw A, B, C, D. So that was a very big point we drove home as part of this. And also some other things that, again, I said you would never see in a transcript or you would never know. So appearance of some of the participants, verbal interactions, physical behavior, personal space where some people sitting closer than others, and also any dominant or opposite of dominant people in the room who may have stood out during the sessions. Also gave them an opportunity to do a field exercise in which they observed with these two main things in as the focus, objectivity and some of these other components here, and also gave them an opportunity to expand these notes, which we had every individual do. So we've not yet talked about our study sample, and you didn't ask, so I'm going to tell you. Our study sample was in 2 community centers in the eastern part of the state. And we, at each site, wanted to recruit 4 service providers and 40 people living with HIV/AIDS. We heard a resounding need from our community advisory board that we needed to not just stop with service providers. We needed to educate everybody. Social workers, case managers, health educators, anyone who provided direct service to people living with HIV/AIDS. And of course, these individuals need to be English speaking. For people living with HIV/AIDS, these consisted of African Americans who received services at one of the study sites older than 18, cognitive functioning that's sufficient for them to be consented, and also English speaking. Recruitment at each of the study sites started from bottom up and top down. We started with administration at each of these sites and also spoke with peer educators and community outreach specialists to kind of bring this picture together to get everybody at the table. So these are the data sources that are used for the process evaluation. We look at demographic information at baseline to see if there are any differences along process indicators. We also have observation notes, transcripts from intervention sessions, facilitator debriefs and participant debriefs, meeting notes from Project East staff, as well as with our community partners and our partners at the AIDS Clinical Trials Unit, also an implementation checklist and an intervention session log. So I'll walk through these 5 components quickly, and then we'll wrap it on up. So context refers to the larger social, political, and economic environment that I spoke of earlier. In terms of methods and sources for analyses, one of the main things here is staying in the loop, talking to community partners, talking to other people on campus conducting comparable work. So communication between these groups, also meeting notes, rereading and reading these transcripts and creating memos to detail some of the things going on at each of the sites. Also interviewing service providers and administrators at each site to see what's going on. And there's a framework proposed by Durlock and Dupree where they look at contextual factors under 4 broad categories, looking at organizational capacity, the characteristics of the innovation, service provider characteristics. So we're using that framework in terms of those questions. Recruitment, what did you use and what did you not use? So several data sources here. Meeting notes, recruitment tracking form. Each community outreach specialist had a tracking form that showed the number of people approached, the number who agreed, the number who did not agree, and the reasons for non-participation. And for both groups, service providers and people living with HIV/AIDS, we had a recruitment question at the very beginning asking them about their recruitment experience. So also coding these items to ensure that the integrity was kept with recruitment. Fidelity, it's a function of the people facilitating the session or the intervention providers. Was it carried out as planned? The best place to look at this is the transcripts from the session to make sure that everything was carried out. And we have independent people conducting or completing implementation checklists to tell whether implementation was high or low. So we're looking to see at least 70% of the activities done correctly. and also the observation assessment forms. Each of the observers in the room have an unstructured guide that they detail some of the nonverbals I talked about earlier. And also the facilitator, having a discussion with them, what went wrong, what went right. So we'll also code this information. The fourth and almost last component, dose delivered. This is a component of, again, the person standing in front of the room. Did you give what you were supposed to give? This is quantified, looking at, was each activity completed to the degree it was supposed to degree? So this will be coded as 0 if it was not completed, 1 if partially completed, and 2 if fully completed. And also an intervention session log that shows across all sites how many sessions were completed in their entirety. And the last component, did the people receive the information that they were supposed to receive? How engaged were they? This again is a reflection of the people who actually came. We have an attendance log for each session. Also the people, the note takers in the room who were watching, looking at body language, looking at nonverbals, detailing some of the questions or facial gestures that people made during the session. And also after each session, we had one of the note takers debrief the participants to ask them some of the questions that pertain to the session. So this is a ton of qualitative data, as you can see. Session transcripts, debriefings, all of these great things. This will not be done on an Excel spreadsheet. We have Atlas TI that we will use to organize and manage the data. And should also note that when the transcripts come back from our professional transcriptionist, we have several people, at least two, verify that everything that she said was correct. She does not live in these communities, so some of the things that were culturally relevant might just kind of fly by. Some of the limitations to the process evaluation study. Our sampling was done at two convenient centers that we already have partnerships with. We use convenient sampling, which is not the strongest sampling design, but as she stated earlier, we're dealing with a very highly stigmatized group. Thinking about selection bias, we are using two existing partners that we have. And for the people living with HIV/AIDS sessions, we use existing support groups as our base and use some of these people to help us recruit some other people to sessions. And social desirability, we can't quite measure this, but these people spend a considerable amount of time with the facilitators, note takers, and Project E staff. So we don't know to what degree they're, oh, you know, yeah, this was great, I learned a lot. So we don't know to what degree we were getting social desirable responses. And we did provide an incentive, although very small. So conclusions and implications for this work. Big thing here, we don't want to evaluate programs that were not implemented correctly, or we don't want to draw incorrect conclusions at the end of an intervention saying it did or did not work without looking at how or why this rolled out. This is very necessary. Interventions aren't just, you know, standing in a room talking to one person anymore. We're talking to providers, we're talking to people who are positive, community members, there are a lot of people involved. So it's very important that we monitor and document what's happening along this process. And then we're using multiple theories. It's not just, oh, maybe health belief model. We have a lot of theories that are used to explain behavior. So it's important for theory validation and just growing literature in this area that we document what is and is not happening. So last PowerPoint, everybody gets Gatorade at the end. And then we'll wrap this up and we will love to entertain your questions.